right. It is day 30 for us. We only have one more day. It's insane to think about that. Really, really crazy, but very fun. Now, this chapter for me, I thought was kind of light. I found it interesting, but I didn't get a ton to take away from it. So I'm just going to expand upon a few points here, but I anticipate that this will be a shorter episode for sure. First thing that I thought was interesting was he said that fatigue can produce extreme gentleness and quiet of mind and even something like vision. If you've often seen men led into anger, malice, and impatience, that is because those men have had efficient tempers. Now, this I think is something that's really interesting because it says that fatigue is similar to, I think death in a sense, where they have conditioned us to think of it as something that is inherently bad, right? That's something that we should try to avoid at all costs. And we think about being tired for us. How many people do you know that complain about being tired every day, constantly, right? Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I have this. I have that. I just listened to a great podcast the other day. It was just a short video of Patrick Bet David talking about how much he hates the T word. And he's talking about he hates people who just complain about how tired they are all the time. And you know this, right? It's extremely draining. It can be difficult. It's a pretty negative thing to just complain about how tired you are. You ask somebody, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I slept so poorly last night. Drives me crazy. I've had people in my life that are like that, where you ask them, how are you doing in the morning? How's it going? And I'm more of a morning person than most. And I know this, right? I recognize this reality. It's draining, man, to hear somebody, oh, I'm just so tired. I didn't sleep all last night. Oh, this and that. And then just crying and whining about everything constantly, right? Nobody wants to be around that. It's draining. It's exhausting. It's awful. And so we recognize that. But we also, I think, very foolishly think that fatigue has to lead us into certain sins. But what it does is it accentuates who we are a lot of times. This is why he says it can produce extreme gentleness, quiet of mind. Because there is something about when you're tired, when you have less energy, you might be less distracted, you might be less all over the place, you might just kind of slow down and be patient and be calmer. And we've all experienced this at certain times, right? When somebody's really tired, if you're on the brink of falling asleep, you're often not super rude. You kind of feel more gentle, quiet, and just more easygoing, right? It's just a little bit more soft and gentle and things like that. What he says here is really, really telling. And I think the same thing, I've often said the same thing, is true about old age. I think as we age, we get more of what we are. What you are is exposed. The same thing I think is often true when you have more money. When you have more money, you're not necessarily corrupted, I don't think. I just think you have more of a loudness to you, right? More is exposed. You're amplified in what you already are to a higher degree, right? It's kind of like a multiplication. It's a exponential growth on the good and the bad of who you are as a human being. And I think it's the same thing I think goes when you're tired. The same thing I think goes when you get old. I've never met, I think you rarely see somebody who's really kind and sweet and gentle when they get old become the opposite of that. I think you very rarely see somebody that is very rude and mean and judgmental and angry and they get old and they become the opposite of that. I think oftentimes what you see is people just get more of what they are. They have less of a filter. They have less of a thing that holds them back. And they're either going to still be really kind and holy and gentle and loving of the Lord, or they just become more of the opposite if that's what they've been their whole life. I think it's a tough reality, but I think that that's true. And so I think fatigue does the same thing. And he's saying that here, he's making that point that only if they have efficient tempers will fatigue kind of amplify that and make it worse. But if they are not angry people, if they don't struggle with the vice, the deadly sin of anger, of wrath, then you're not going to be able to make anything of his fatigue. And then I think what's interesting on the other page here on page 167, he talks about having fun with basically convincing the man to give up when he's facing temptation. He says, the fun is to make the man yield just when, had he but known it, relief was almost in sight. And so a lot of times we experience temptation in waves, and the devil likes to convince us that we're going to experience temptation indefinitely, that we're just going to always experience this. We're going to always have the temptation that we're currently fighting. But we know this is not true, and this book really reinforces that idea, that these temptations, they come in waves, and a lot of times we give up. We can't know this. We can't see it. We won't know it until the afterlife, I don't think. But we give up so often, right when we're on the brink of actually breaking through and surviving the temptation. All right, and the last little point I want to point out here is in the last paragraph here, he says, the creatures are always accusing one another of wanting to eat the cake and have it. But thanks to our labors, they are more often in the predicament of paying for the cake and not eating it. I've thought about this a lot in my life. I've known some people who have some really great lives and who have worked really hard to have really great lives financially, familially, any different category that you can think of. They've worked really hard to have really good lives set up and they find ways to ruin it. I've had people in my family throughout time who I felt have been the same way. We'd be on family vacations and they find some way to kind of bring things down, to be negative, to argue, fight, to pick fights out of nowhere. Both kids and adults in my life, I've seen do this. And I think the devil is exceptionally happy, going back to what Screwtape here says about getting the person, getting the patient to cave right before relief was coming, right? Right before he had survived the temptation. That, I think, this is another thing that gives the devil great pleasure, to see us ruining good things, right? To see us have earned, in a sense, right? Have worked really hard to set up a situation, whether that be family vacation or holidays or whatever, or somebody else to do it, and then just come in and just ruin it with a bad attitude, with negativity, with pettiness, with immaturity, right? The devil has to rejoice in that because it's so frustrating for the rest of us. And it's one of the most miserable and most painful things, right? If you save up for a vacation and somebody ruins it intentionally just because they feel like they can't be happy. You see this in a lot of movies, right? You just can't let yourself be happy. That's very true for a lot of us. We avoid the things that we know make us happy. And so sometimes we have all of that right in our midst. We have it right in front of us, but we choose not to do it. I think about that even with myself. I feel convicted of that, of paying to have the cake and not eating it. I pay to be here, to rent this office right next to a church. And for a long time, I never went over to the church to pray. Think of how dumb that is, right? Like, these are the kinds of things that we pay for the gym membership and we don't go use it, right? These things that can lead to our virtue, to our happiness, to our holiness, to us fulfilling our vocations even better than we currently do. And we just don't take advantage of them. So what are the things in your life? What are the things that you're not taking advantage of that you have right before you? Could be just spending some silent time in the car with God instead of listening to the radio or my dumbass rant about whatever I'm ranting about that day, right? Time with the Lord is more important than Seeking Excellence podcast. I can tell you that. So if you haven't prayed yet, I encourage you to do that, obviously, and to not listen to my podcast or anybody else's for that matter, and just spend some time quiet in the car talking to God. On your way to work, on your way home, whatever it may be. If you're troubled, that's what you need, not more things to listen to or more ideas or whatever it might be. I'm guilty of this as well, for sure. So let's think about that. I think it's good stuff to reflect on and to pray about. All right, God bless you. We'll see you in a couple of days for the final day. Be your best.